So a very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now we have 1:30 to 3 o'clock. Oh, supposed to be meditation. No, you just have your lunch. Never mind, we use half an hour to do some sharing. After that, maybe 2 o'clock only, you all meditate. Okay. So just now, regarding the four Theravada monks, that's why I say, got condition, things will happen. No condition, nothing happen. So initially, it was, I think, Adeline came and asked me, Petty, there are four Theravada monks. I was like, They want to come over and bless us. Can we invite them over? I said, never mind. Unless they want to come, then never mind. Then after that, we thought no more already. Then like I say, if meant to be, the condition will come back. Then one of the monks purposely come and ask for permission. Actually, miscommunication. I said, yes, can. You chant, because he want to bless us. Then I don't know why, he look at, oh, you all eating. He go back. Then after that, they go and ask Elsie, say, you all want or not? We come over and bless you all. You all can eat, never mind, he said, we still bless. You don't have to stand up. So when Elsie came and see me, third time already, that's why I say got condition, the sign will come. I know what it meant to be. I tell her, I say, okay, call them. Then I ask Song to go and prepare red packet to offer based on our common pool fund. Then Song go and prepare. Then Elsie say, can I call them now? I say, call. But meant to be will be very likely. I use the word really. This monk happened to be around here. So got condition. So up there, I want them to chant for our blessing to help them. You know why to help them? They bless us, how come help them? I think this one must be like the two merchants that met the Buddha one, you remember? The good friend up there, talk to them. There is one there, you go and make offering. You go and bless them. And they know, I will invoke, because of the wholesomeness, I will invoke that wholesomeness to take them all across when the time comes. That's why sometimes when you have goodness of heart and you're a good friend up there, a lot of things can happen to you and you're more tin fatal. Understand? Then at the same time also up there, they want to rejoice, or they want, because we just finished our Bodhisattva precept. And what happened was, he chanted the auspicious blessing, which they like to listen or no. You turn to your chanting book, page 14. Sabetiyo viva chantuan. Oh, this one, they invoke auspicious blessing for all. No. The normal one. Page 14. Sumangala, yes. So they all chant, Sabetiyo Vyajantu Sabarogo Vinasatu Mate Bhava Tantrayo Sukhi Digayo Bhava. Then bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena sada soti bhavantu te. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba dhammanu bhavena sada soti bhavantu te. Bhavatu sabba mangalang rakkantu sabba devata sabba sanghanu bhavena sada soti bhavantu te. Then they follow by nakata yatta buddhanang papakaha nivarana paritassa nubhavena hantva te sang upadave. Then they also invoke all the Buddhas. Sabbe buddha balapata pachakana ca yang balang arahantanang ca tejena rakham badami sabbaso. So the meaning I read to you in English, you understand. Auspicious blessing for all. May all misfortune be averted. May all sickness be healed. May no danger befall you. May you long live long and happy. So this is what the Buddha meant by you keep your precept, you develop your cultivation. You will receive a lot of spiritual wealth, spiritual joy. That's why people will bless you back and they will create conditions for everything. So this one means he auspicious blessing for the world, for all. Then after that he invoked the power of triple gem. No? May there be blessing all around. May all the dainties protect you. That's why Dhamma protector. By the power of all the Buddha, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. Then repeat, by the power of Dhamma, may you be blessed with happiness and well-being. Then the third one is, may there be blessing all around. May there be all the blessing. May all devas protect you. And by the power of all the Sangha, may you be blessed with happiness. So all this very important and well-being. Then by this chanting, paritta virtue, may no ill come to pass through cosmic forces, demons, powerful non-humans, or opposition from planetary antagonism. May our misfortunes cease to exist. So this one, they invoke power of all Buddhas. So this virtue is very good. The paritta chanting. That all Buddhas are powerful, and whatever power there is of the silent Buddha, and through the power of the Arahant, may there be protection in all aspects. So this auspicious blessing for all is very meaningful and very beautiful. And it's quite standard, they chant. Then when it comes to Akasata, they have three parts. So these three parts, they actually emphasize differently. First one is what we chant on. Akasata Chiyabhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. So this one means, may all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits. Then may they long protect the dispensation. But the second section is, may they long protect me and honor the Dhamma. Then after that, the last one is, may they long protect me and others. So that is the only difference. Understand? For us cultivator, we want them to protect the sasana. Well, without sasana, cultivator cannot find the Dhamma. Understand? And we are cultivator all the way. We are part of the sasana. Understand? We maintain the sasana. That's why they will protect you. The other two are more like, actually, the second one is the same. Protect the Dhamma is protect the sasana. But they want to specific. They want the teaching to be around. Not only they protect the cultivator, they want the teaching to be around. Then the last one is protect yourself and others. Means include the rest. Then the other, we already chant. Etavata chamehi, all those things. The meaning is, may all beings share this merit which we have thus accrued, and may all devas rejoice. May it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Then they have also another two sections. May all beings share this merit which we have thus accrued or acquired, and may all spirit, here instead of devas, spirit rejoice. May it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Then the last one is, may all beings rejoice. Yeah. So that is the only difference. And may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Then after that is transfer of merits to departed one. I think a lot of the departed one outside, they are not included under your five. Understand? So they also want. That's why this one will help them. Idang me nya tinang ho to cover them, cover every beings. Okay, that's it. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And the other thing, if you are mindful, like my daughter realized, after the chant finish, after we rejoice, we give the ang pao anumunala outside. Actually, not supposed to rain. Sunny, hot, suddenly rain. Then after that, stop. So, meant to be, you will be. That's why when you have the Dhamma, you will understand. No need to be rigid. First time I say no. Then I see how. Then my wife talked to me. I say, unless they want to come. Then after that, one of the monks come. Then still no affinity or miscommunication. Then he asked us to stand, I remember. You all heard that? Then only he sent the blessing. Then I was thinking, everybody still eating. No, later on, the last time only, he tell Elsie, we want to give you all blessing. You all no need to say, you all continue to eat. Then I say, oh, la, that's the third time already, the sign. I say, okay, call them. That's how they come. So you don't worry on when you travel or whatever, even your itinerary fixed way, you're supposed to go, but the condition change, you have to accord and flow. Understand? If it's supposed to be, meant to be, you will go on. After you decide to cancel and change, the sign will come on. Because somewhere there got affinity with you, they need you, or you need the affinity there. Then you will go up again on. That's why I don't decide. That is what Krishnamurti meant by, wherever there is choice, there is confusion. Means you don't know how to see the causes and conditions within the reality. When you can see, you no need to decide on. Even you make the wrong call, wrong choice, somehow something will protect you on, will come and show you the sign. But if you are not a cultivator, how many signs also no use? People already warn, a lot of them scam here, scam there, what type of scam. If you blur on, your karma is supposed to kena on. You kena on, kena until left and right. Then after that, people say, hey, you didn't read the TikTok, you didn't read the internet. He said, God, man. Then some read already. At first, don't believe. Then don't believe. Then after that, other friend come now. Hey, you heard of this? Oh, then you may tell him it's scam lah. All this cannot. Then suddenly you know what happened. They come and tell him, hey, my relative all show to me the bank book, no, receive the dividend, the investment return. Then he said, I also join already. That is the beginning. Then the MBI one, wow, a very big scam. You go and read. There was a sharing, I think from Alastair Group. Was it from Alastair Group? The lady on, he described it very well, very clearly. I go and check, see whether I got or not. Then this one I won't send to the website. I won't send to the Maikayamita, I send to Yogi Guru only. Okay? Yeah. So that you all can read. Okay, now. Manyan. Yeah. 1:30. Oh, 2 o'clock. Sorry, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. Start meditation. Okay.
Page 185, 2.1. Meditation is not just about developing calmness. Question: when I focus on an object to meditate, I can feel there is a grasping. Thus, I change to free flow, and I find it more relaxing, and there is better blood circulation with better awareness. Brother Teo answered, meditation is not just about developing calmness, nor having good and bad meditation experiences, but it is about developing wisdom via the silent mind in awareness to insight into the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Meditation or bhavana consists of two parts, samadhi and panya. First part is samadhi, which is the path factors of sama, sati, and samadhi, i.e. training the mind to be in sati or mindfulness, leading to the samadhi or collected and unwavering mind, to arise the heedfulness needed for cultivating insights. Then, the second part is to use this trained mind in sati and samadhi to meditate and cultivate the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, leading to heedfulness, to develop the panya or wisdom. So how can you do that? Can you do that by focusing on an object of meditation? Or must you just train your mind to be aware via a skillful means or a meditation object? The latter will lead you to an understanding of what you are doing in the name of meditation. So whatever happens in meditation, as long as you are silent and aware to understand what is going on, then wisdom can arise. If we have expectation that meditation must lead to calmness and good meditative experiences, then we have a problem when it doesn't happen. Most yogis tend to react and chase after good meditation, and what they do is they become unhappy and agitated when they cannot get what they want or expect. Hence, their mind is not at peace with the moment. This lack of understanding is the main problem that traps most yogis. You must understand that the moment you are silent, you are already aware and heedful, so you don't have to try to be aware. The trying is by the thought, and if thought is active, how can your mind be silent and aware? The five mental hindrances that hinder your mind from becoming peaceful and calm will arise as long as your mind is deluded and heedlessly lost in thoughts. This habitual tendency of heedless thinking is the main problem. So to counter these five mental hindrances, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of sadha, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya while cultivating the following. Number one, the devotional practices or puja to develop the faith, the Viriya, and Sati. Number two, the mind sweeping method and metta to decondition the heedless thinking while just feel and relax, no more thinking. Then, three, cultivate anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breathing to stabilize the sati born of the above training, leading to the silent mind sati followed by samadhi and panya. There was a question raised by a yogi during the last Saturday meditation class as to why the random thoughts keep on arising during her meditation. I told her, this is good because at least now you are able to be aware of your own lack of peace and understand why your random thoughts keep arising. Why these thoughts and not other thoughts? When you
this one is a very important inquiry. Why this thought, not any other thought? And then you will trace the answer already. Yeah.
When you are aware of all this without any reactions of mind and agitation or trying to do anything, then what happens? You will come to realize that these random thoughts arise due to your attachment or clinging to a lot of those mind activities that affected you during your daily life. And these arising thoughts have a lot to do with the memories. which you have deposited or accumulated scars of memories into your brain over the years. And since thoughts are response to memories, that is how random thoughts arise during your meditation. But if you just let it be and remain just silent and aware, then these random thoughts will start to slow down on their own until there is just stillness or quietness. Also, if you don't cling and live your life with heedfulness and wisdom, then all this clinging and grasping and accumulation will cease to be, and you will be very peaceful most of the time. We is the three universal characteristics of nature, and pasana is to insight into. Hence, vipassana is a meditation that leads to the ability of the mind to insight into these three universal characteristics of nature to arise the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. So meditation is about insight and not about good or bad meditation. Reaction of mind is due to one's wrong views that condition the arising of the wrong thoughts, leading to the fear, worry, anxiety, and restlessness of mind. Understand via awareness how these wrong thoughts come to be, and how they condition our fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, etc. Via thoughts, projections, and proliferation is very important. Then, understand how Dhamma can allow us to develop the wisdom needed to free our mind, leading to the peace and tranquility within. This is meditation. The 38th Heart Sutra Class 1.1 Form Dhamma and Mind Dhamma. It is important to understand what is form Dhamma and what is mind Dhamma. For example, I am a religious person. My religion says I cannot take certain types of meat. Not permitted. I cannot touch or use the bowl that contains this type of meat used by people of other religions. Then, by the same logic, they shouldn't breathe the air that the people of other religions have breathed or the money that they have used. This type of action puts emphasis only on the form Dhamma, i.e., they only deal with the form and are not able to see the mind as yet. Form has so much meaning to them, hence they can be deluded by it. And it is because of their attachment to form Dhamma that conditions them to cling to the external forms and identify with them as right or wrong, spiritual or non-spiritual. Outwardly, they try to become more spiritual, but inwardly, at the mind level, they are still barren, because they cannot see their rather latent defilements, evil mental intentions and thoughts. Another example is taking vegetarian. When you don't understand why are you vegetarian, then the same problem will arise. Some people are vegetarian because they thought by doing so, they will be more spiritual and compassionate because they don't cause to kill anymore. There may be some truth in that statement, but if you don't have the clear understanding of why you go vegetarian, then delusion can still creep in because you fail to understand that spirituality has nothing to do with what you eat. For spirituality is about cultivating the mind and purifying it to develop wisdom to liberate our mind. Otherwise, all the herbivorous animals like the cows, the goats, and the horses would have been enlightened, because they are vegetarian all the time, for they only eat grass, and the funny part is, what they eat finally becomes meat too. The other important point that one needs to understand is, for the true cultivators of the way, there will come a time for them to go vegetarian, and they will know when and why. For their cultivation has reached the mind level, and they are so sensitive and so clear with their understanding that they are ready to go vegetarian. This is good understanding. But what happens when you don't have this type of understanding? When your understanding and cultivation have not reached this level of refined compassion, then becoming vegetarians like the others has not much meaning, and it will not make you more compassionate and spiritual. It is like at the form level, you are trying to impress others outwardly that you are a vegetarian, but inwardly, your mind is still not ready, and so caused with all the cravings, selfishness, anger, hatred, jealousy, violence, to harm and kill, pettiness and fear, etc. All these you cannot see. So what is happening? This is attachment to form Dharma and not cultivating the mind Dharma at the mind level to develop the wisdom to understand beyond form Dharma. This is like some devotees who chant to renew their five precepts but still break them. Outwardly they will say, I am a Buddhist, you know. I cannot lie and steal or commit sexual misconduct, etc. But then, inwardly, are they really a Buddhist? As a true Buddhist and to be worthy of the Buddha, the minimum we should do is to be able to, at least, heed his advice to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, and purify our mind, right? Number one, to avoid all evil, we will have to keep our five precepts while developing our mindfulness and heedfulness to diligently cultivate the first two right efforts. A. To abandon the unwholesome thoughts or mental intentions that have arisen. And B. The other right effort to prevent the unwholesome thoughts from arising. Number two. To cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, we need to cultivate the next two right efforts. A. To promote or arise the right thoughts, right speech and right action that are still not in you. And B. The other right effort to refine upon whatever right and unwholesome mental intentions and thoughts, action and speech that you have developed. As these four right efforts are cultivated at mind level, hence they are still thought-based cultivation involving effort or the thought. A better way to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness and blessings is to understand that the absence of evil is by itself already good. With this understanding, one only needs to cultivate the stability of daily mindfulness, leading to the heedfulness to constantly avoid all evil mental intention that condition one's negativity, then there will be no more need to use the four right efforts anymore. Number three, to purify our mind, we need to go beyond thought to cultivate the only mindfulness or sati, the silent mind, to see things as they are, without the interference of thoughts, via its views, opinions, and conditioning. This is direct seeing, which is also called the third turning cultivation, leading to the realization of bhavana maya panya, wisdom, born of bhavana, or the meditative discipline. At the mind level, you can still be deluded because you must understand that your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief, and everything arises from the mind. So if one acts, speaks, and thinks with a wicked, unwholesome mind, then suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof. So even though the mind Dharma is more important than form Dharma, one can still get trapped at mind level if one continues to be deluded by the aggregates of mind. When we identify via form, then we will discriminate according to what we see or perceive, like male, female, old and young, beautiful and ugly, race, nationality, etc. Like I am a Malay, Chinese and Indian, leading to racial discrimination via identification with our external physical forms of appearances. When we are able to see beyond form, all these discriminations or divisions conditioned by form Dharma will cease, but then mind Dharma can still arise to cause similar divisions and discrimination. At mind level, we still have our views, opinions, belief systems, traditions and conditionings, etc., that can still divide and cause us to argue with one another. All these divisions and discriminations can only cease when we are able to see beyond form and beyond mind or thoughts, leading to the direct seeing with our true nature within, i.e. seeing things as they are, leading to the understanding of what is suchness or ta-ta-ta.
Okay, we stop here. Because sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. because the alarm just now ring again. So you can have your 1 hour of awareness-based meditation. We are off the light. So train yourself. For those who already stabilized their inner awareness, you just relax, maintain awareness, stay at the heart. Then let the fourth support trust develop the meditation. Okay? Yeah, I will set the alarm now.